and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThule on Twitter, and this is episode 80. Holy crap, that's a lot, Mel. And with me, as always, is advancing the Amazon Prime Directive for the 80th time. Here's Mel.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter when I'm there.
Yeah, allegedly.
I sometimes show up. Yeah, I'm going to try to do better. Sorry about that in case you missed me. But yeah, I'm Mel. And 80 episodes, that's a lot. It really seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's, you know, 79 was the last one, and that was a lot too. But 80 just really hit me. It's like, wow, that's like a bunch.
Now that you mention it, yeah, 80's a lot. I don't know that I've showed up anywhere outside of work 80 times in a row.
It's amazing. So we'll go ahead and get started. And the pressure is going to be on. So Mel, as we've established in previous shows, Mel does all the work in terms of taking the audio, cleaning out my many uhs. Well, not all of them because it's impossible, but cleaning a lot of my uhs and ums and all that kind of stuff. Tighten the show up, put in all the good music and everything like that. And I'm going to put a little bit on me because for my recommendation, there are several things I'd like to include. And so I need to actually get those to Mel before this post, before this goes up. So we'll see. But
cool.
I'm doing a music recommendation. Shockingly enough, it's not Alice Cooper. Shockingly enough, the album was released this year. So kind of amazing on multiple levels.
And so I'm still ruling the oldest recommendation.
I think you may be. I'm taking that as a bit of a challenge, and I may find a nice Louis Armstrong album to recommend or something like that. But yeah, this will not challenge that. It's a familiar name, maybe, to those of you who listen to Nurture and Support, because I've recommended some of his stuff before. And it's Graham Parker. And I'll be recommending Graham Parker's new album, which is called Mystery Glue. It is out and available and incredibly awesome. And so that'll be my recommendation for this week. My short-term memory and long-term memory is not good, so I can't exactly tell you why. But I either completed a Mystery Glue interaction thing that I'm going to try and share with Mel so we can include it so you can try it out too, where Graham Parker listed like all of his musical influences, and then you could go in and kind of do the same, and it creates almost like a little bit of a flow chart. You're kind of bounded by what the subset of the groups that Graham had introduced, but it's kind of a cool thing to do. And it was either filling that out, Captain Beefheart was in there, by the way, which is pretty awesome. It was either filling that out, or it was retweeting something, or it was liking something on Facebook. I don't exactly remember what, but I got a note a little bit ago that said, "Congratulations, Kelly. You have won." Graham Parker is playing up in Chicago, and it says you've won tickets to go see Graham Parker. Which night would you like to go? And I was kind of thinking it might be a scam, but they weren't asking for a credit card or anything. And sure enough, I went to a really cool place called the City Winery in Chicago, almost more of a nightclub, probably seats 300 to 400 people. And one of my promises I'm going to try and do is that I shot a little bit of footage from there. So we'll get a little bit of Graham actually playing in that venue. He played a lot of songs off of this new album in it. And it was just, he sounded great. And this is Graham Parker and the Rumor. And that was the original lineup. So when Graham Parker first hit the musical scene, it was Graham Parker and the Rumor. And they kind of stayed together until probably the early 80s. And then he went off his separate way from the Rumor. But they've all gotten back together. So that's Graham and Brinsley Schwartz, Bob Andrews on keyboards, Martin Belmont, Andrew Bonar on bass, and Stephen Goulding on drums. And, you know, Graham's 65 years old, but doesn't require a walker to get on stage, moves around reasonably well. He's an English guy, so he's got like the Mick Jagger dance thing that when he does try to kind of groove a little bit, it looks a little awkward, but it doesn't look that it's due to infirmary. It's just he's British, and so I don't think he can he can appropriately groove. But he looks very reasonable on stage, and this is a bunch of old friends who've gotten back together and all looks pretty cool, although Martin Belmont looks like, you know, somebody's dad. it's just something, and he can play some guitar. But when he's jamming out on the guitar, it's kind of like watching your grandfather, you know, do a little Eddie Van Halen. It's just an odd combination, but they sounded great. They were clearly having fun. It was a great show. And they did, like I said, a number of things off of Mystery Glue. Mystery Glue is what I'm recommending. I just kind of real quick go down through the songs that are on there. The first song's called Transit of Venus. And this would be anyone who's ever going to put photos of space onto YouTube and wants to do a soundtrack across it while they're playing it. I would highly recommend Transit of Venus because it's got, you know, some celestial terminology in it. And it's a kind of a really beautiful song. And Graham Parker's just an outstanding. He's got this nice, smoky rhythm and blues voice and writes great stuff. Sounds good. So Transit of Venus. And he actually played that the night that I was there. Then Going There is the next song, and that's almost a little bit country and western with a strange tap dancing-esque interlude towards the middle, followed by Wall of Grace, which is kind of a cool song about photos on the wall and the stories behind it. And it's got kind of a do-do-do-do kind of chorus to it that he also played live. And this was, when he played live, this was the first time he tried to secure audience participation. Although he started out going, this next song's got a lot of do-do-do's in it, so you should probably sing along. But if you don't, I understand, because it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're probably not drinking enough. And he was right. I mean, crowd got better in terms of do-do-doing along later in the song, but we started off pretty weak. But I did my best on that. Swing State, which is about swing states, left, right, how much stuff do you want kind of thing. I mentioned the last time I talked about Graham that I like my Graham Parker angry. This isn't probably angry Graham Parker. This is probably more mellowed, but still cynical, a little bit of an edge Graham Parker who's just kind of happy to be with his buddies. And they just play along and do some good stuff. Hmm. Slow News Day is, as you might think, a song about a slow news day and a little bit of comparison around all the oddities that you see on news stories and not a lot of stories about people having a tough time getting by and all those types of things. Kind of Beatle-esque, you know. This is a real interesting album because it's definitely got that definitive Graham Parker sound, but you kind of get hints of this is kind of a Beatle-esque song. Railroad Spikes, which is the video that I want to include in this post. Tremendous video. It's almost like an infographic video, and it's the story of the train industry eventually being eclipsed by the auto industry. But it's a fun song. Flying into London. Kind of Warren Zevon-esque song, very, very good. Pub Crawl, about being in a band and playing in bars and getting drunk. It's always good. And then I've Done Bad Things, which if I was a professional wrestler, I think I'd want to use this as my entry song. You know, and I've Done Bad Things and I Don't Care, real toe tapper. And it was kind of neat because he was talking in the concert. I saw him about, hey, we're going to play a lot of stuff from the new album. We think it's the best thing we've ever done, but he's also, but of course that's probably what you'd expect me to say, but we think it is. And he got done with Railroad Spikes and got probably one of the biggest reactions of the night, and he was like, see, I told you, it's good stuff. Fast Crowd is a song about hanging about with the fast crowd. Long Shots, another good song with a lot of doo-doos in it. We had gotten much better in the audience and singing along at that point in time. It also includes the reference to Mystery Glue, the title of the album. And then finally, kind of a jazzy, Randy Newman-esque finish, My Life in Movie Land. And so the whole album is just got a light, nice diversity of sound, really good craftsmanship, very fun to listen to. We'll try and include in the blog post Railroad Spikes, which is a super awesome song, a little bit from the live show I saw. And if I can find that Mystery Glue interactive thing, I'll make sure to include that in the post as well. But always enjoy Graham Parker. Really cool to see he's still putting out very good stuff. And be great to have a lot of folks support him and go buy Mystery Glue. So that's my recommendation for this week.
Cool. And I am sure that everyone can go buy that on Amazon.
I am certain they could. My copy's autographed. Because all the copies he had there were autographed, which is very cool. So picked one of those up, obviously, as well.
Yeah, that's cool. I doubt it's up on Spotify yet. So I might have to buy it from Amazon. Darn. I have a gift card for Amazon, actually. I just found it.
There you go.
Well, Kelly mentioned two things there that are going to directly flow into my recommendation, which is funny how these things happen. He's talking about a lot of, you know, do-do-do songs and good craftsmanship. And my recommendation includes both of those things as well, only it's not necessarily an album. It's another game. And I promise this will be my last game recommendation for a while. I know I've hit you with a bunch of them lately, but that's because they've had some really good sales because it's summer and supposedly the kids are out of school and need things to play. So my recommendation this week is a game that just recently released on the Steam Early Access platform. So yes, it is another PC game, folks. It's called Stonehearth, and it's by a company called Radiant Entertainment. And I believe there's only like 6 people working on making this game. I have told all of y'all in the past how I like city builder, resource management type games. Well, this one is adorable. It deals with a lot of craftsmanship. You have to craft things. It's one of these crafting type games. I have never, surprisingly, I have never really played Minecraft. I did give it a try and I just really didn't get into it. This is similar, sort of, in that it's a cartoony, sort of pixelated little world, but it really reminds me more of the Lego. It leans more towards the Lego type world of that, in that the characters are a little cute. The environment is very cartoonish yet angular. So they have lots of cute music, a lot of do-do-doing going on. There's happy music, and then dun-dun-dun, when you're getting invaded or the goblins are coming to steal your stuff, the big ominous music plays. So the music's very key to this game, as to sometimes warning you of when things are coming. Now, I mentioned this is an early access game, which means it is another game that's in alpha, which means it's not complete yet. But if you go and you buy the game now, you get the full game when it comes out. And they are working really hard on this game and putting out a lot of updates. And this one is actually, it's playable in this state. It's fun. They've just actually recently, I believe, from what I have read, released the invaders I mentioned, which are kind of like zombies and skeletons and things like that, which have cute, if you click on the invaders or even some of the different goblins that show up in the world, they have cutesy little RPG type names on them, which is a cute little touch. So like most of these type crafting games, basically what it's about is you start a little settlement out in the wilderness. You start off with a few people. You have to build housing for them. You have to promote one of your little people to be the carpenter, to make the beds and the tables and the window frames and all of that kind of stuff that you'll need to make your house. Now, that's kind of one of the cool things that some of us people who like that like about these games, is you get to build your own stuff. And while this comes with some preset templates for the buildings that you're going to make, you can build and design your own. So you can do whatever you want. It is an open world. You can build the biggest house you want to, or you can settle with their pre-made template of a cottage for two. So it's really up to you what you do. Point of the game, obviously, is to keep your little people happy so that they work harder. And they go mine stuff and grow food and herd sheep and do things like that so that you can make money and keep getting new settlers, because that's how you get new people added into your little group, is by meeting preset goals for each level. So that is amount of food, overall morale of your settlers. So if you've had a bunch of deaths lately or they're hungry, your morale is going to be bad. But you can lift it by having your carpenter build them better beds, which is always nice because everyone appreciates a comfy bed, y'all, really. So then you also have to have enough money, which you can make by having your people make things and sell them to various little merchants that wander by. One of the cool things, which I haven't really explored yet, I'm still building my structures out of wood. I didn't really have the whole system figured out to be able to actually build a castle, but you're mining a bunch of stone in this game and you can build a castle and you can build walls to keep all of the goblins and the invaders out. I literally just figured this out. So now I'm excited to finish this and go try to build me a castle. It's a really cute game. I would, if you have followed my advice in the past and you have gotten a Steam account, and this is not a very intensive game on your computer. You don't have to have a cutting-edge computer to be able to play this game. I would go ahead and put it in your wish list, and Steam will very helpfully tell you should it go on sale. I believe it's running about $24.99 right now, and in my opinion, from what I have played so far, it is a game that's going to be worth that price point. I would expect that at some point before the final version comes out, though, that it will go on sale. So I like it. It's really, it's fun so far, and it's just in an alpha stage, and they don't have all of the monsters in the world. They don't have, not everything is working yet, but it is actually a playable game, unlike some of the other alphas that I have picked up recently. This one is one of the ones, like The Long Dark, that you can actually go in and actually play and have an enjoyable experience right now. So I have had a few bugs come up in that some of my little people, like my blacksmith, occasionally refuses to work. But that's one of the other issues that you get, is that each of your little people have different personality traits, and that determines how well they're going to work or how suitable they are for giving them a particular job, because you assign them to jobs, and if they're not doing their job, you can fire them from that job and make them be a just general worker again and promote someone else to be the blacksmith. Now, this game's going to be very, very moddable. From what they promise. So they will release all of the information and things that we would need as players to go in and mod this game however we would want to. We can make our own monsters, all of that kind of cool stuff. So that's always enjoyable, because people out there are so incredibly creative that it won't be 2 minutes before somebody will have, you know, probably Carl from The Walking Dead in there. You know, you never know. They'll come up with all sorts of cool things to put in there when the game releases. So I think it's cool. I think it's really fun right now. And it can only get better from here. And they're working on it well enough that this game is one of those in this sort of program that I think is actually going to get released. And they're going to get it done. So it's called Stone Hearth, and it's by Radiant Games. It's available on Steam, or it's also available over at the Humble Bundle store. So those are two places I talk about quite a lot. I love Humble Bundle. So you can get it at either one of those places, or you can buy it directly from Radiant at their website. I think it's well worth your time. Lots of cute music, goblins, zombies. And the zombies, I had a zombie that I killed earlier that dropped a Fluffy Bunny toy.
Oh, there you go.
So he was walking around carrying a stuffed animal. How cute is that? No, you can, when you kill, as any fantasy RPG player knows, you know, when you kill something, you expect a reward. So this game is like that, in that when you attack the zombies or the goblins, most of the time they're going to drop something that you can loot. So that may be a fluffy bunny. It may be a bolt of cloth. It may be some gold ore. You never know what it's going to be. So it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's cute. It's got this cute aspect to it that really reminds me a lot of some of the Lego stuff. It's not as slick as the Lego type games are, but it's got a very good sense of humor about it. and it leans more in that direction than, say, the Minecraft direction, at least to me. So I think people will like it if they're into those sort of crafting type games like that. I think they'll like it, and I like it. So it'd be great if some of you people who are much better at modding things would play it and mod things for me.
Because you can share it when you create a mod, you can share it then in terms of.
Usually what they're doing, at least on the Steam store for games that do that, is you can load them directly up into Steam Workshop, and they're there for anybody to download and basically directly install into the game as all part of the same interface. So it works really well in other games. Like Skyrim is a game that people can mod, and you use Steam to load those directly into your game. It's really a very cool thing. So I would imagine that's how it's going to work. And somebody needs to make me some corgis, because
Corgis would be good.
I want to herd corgis instead of sheep. Corgis shed a lot, so I think they would be a good, wool producer instead of sheep. Wool alternative, corgi fur.
There you go. That'd be all your people in these big corgi jackets. Look
Yes.
really corgi fur jackets will be nice.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I need to get because I do. We've talked before. I always enjoy the mod side of a lot of these games, and I have to get this because what I want to do is create on the monster side the something I think I will call the Prime Apes, and there'll be these large furry letter A's, and they'll suck the money from your place. If you kill them, you get a drum.
With the click of
So
one button. Yes.
that's right. And
Yeah.
kind of wave it, have a mouse like a bolo or something like that. So we'll work on it. But yeah, that sounds really cool. I'll have to
I
and
like
I.
it. Yeah.
Because I'm not from a PC standpoint, not really in the higher end in terms of graphic cards. It's great to hear that this one's not as intensive because that would makes it a much stronger candidate for me to play around with a little bit.
Yeah. It's running pretty well. I've tried a few others that are being very difficult, that I've tried probably five or six different alpha staged games lately, and some of them are really, really, yeah, they're not sure they should have been released to alpha to the public yet. But that's all part of the process. That's why they release these games like this, is to help keep a little bit of money flowing in so that they can continue to work on them. So this one's doing
Cool.
really well in this stage. It's playable. There have been a few bugs, but they're actively working on things, and I like it. It's fun and it's cute, and it makes me smile, and I get to build things and get mad at my little workers because they won't make me a rug.
Yeah.
So.
So is your and I so a little bit confused earlier, is your blacksmith glitchy due to the game, or do you have a diva blacksmith you need to deal with here?
It's one of those things where I thought I had a diva, so I fired the diva, and I found me a really good hard worker who had he had the little heart symbol up there, which meant he's really devoted to his career. He's really devoted, and those little guys worked their butts off, and I'm like, you are my new blacksmith. And so you have to. When you give someone a job, you have to work them up through levels before they can make certain things for you. So they have to start all over. So you have to think really hard, make a good decision about who you want to put into a certain profession if it's an important one. Your blacksmith, I think he's pretty important. And I wanted him to make armor for my little footmen so that they could go kill the zombies. And he wasn't doing it. And he had been working so well, and then all of a sudden he wasn't doing it. And I think something got glitchy right there. So I kind of exit out of the game, and when I restarted the game, he was working a lot better. So I think it was more of a glitch, because he's supposed to be a good worker and he'd worked really, really well up until that point. And then it was like, damn it, he wasn't gonna make me a bronze ingot. Just forget it. He wasn't going to do it. And I'm like, I have all of the stuff. It's right there. Just do it. And he would pick it up and he would go take it over to his little blacksmith place and then put it down. And he wouldn't work on it. And then when I look at him, he's off eating lunch. And I'm like, I want you to do that. So anyway, he did eventually do it.
Boy, blacksmiths, yeah.
Yeah, his name was Lee, and I told him I was going to fire him if he didn't do it, and he finally did it. I was going to make him go work in the mine. Oh, well.
Well, I hope your blacksmith labor issues work out.
He's working much better now, but that may be because, you know, I told him he was going to have to go work in the mine, but that's okay. I'll let you know if he backslides.
Okay. We're going to keep an eye on you, Lee.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. So Mel's continuing to maintain her social media boycott for a little while longer. I will throw out one for this week. And this is Mystery Science Theater fans probably are already familiar, but this is not an official. This isn't part of the Big Brains group or any of the cast members. This is a fan run website and Twitter account. It's MST3K info, and it's Mystery Science Theater 3000 information. So they continue to put out on a pretty regular basis information on the show, kind of interesting little tidbits. They'll get into kind of current events a little bit too. Christopher Lee passed away recently. They wrote an article about that, etc. So it's some pretty good stuff there. They go back and do episode guides on previous Mystery Science Theaters. It's pretty cool. They've got 14,000 followers, so they're doing an all right job from there. But so I'd recommend that if I desperately missed Mystery Science Theater, and this is a way to kind of stay a little bit in touch and see some fun things going on. So I'll recommend them from a social media perspective for this week.
Yeah, that's cool. Because, you know, Thanksgiving only comes around once a year, and some people don't get to sit at home and watch the webcast of that they do now on Thanksgiving. Last two Thanksgivings, I've watched that. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's well worth it. I got in trouble this last.
Did you?
I skipped out on the
festivities.
Yes. I had to stay home and watch the dog show and a bad sci-fi movie on the internet. So anyway. Cool. Who doesn't like Mystery Science 3000?
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we will turn it over to our good friend Matt, Mel's good friend Matt, who will tell you all the different ways that you can connect with us via YouTube and Twitter and the blog and iTunes and all that good stuff. And hope you do. And thanks for listening. I don't have anything else except to say thanks, Mel.
We'll be back next week with episode 81.
Man, that's a lot. Bye, everybody.
Night, everybody.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Tool.
Nurturing and supporting.